Roger, sir, just a quick update. That woman has a husband and a baby. Would you be possible to accommodate those as well, over?
A comprar medicamentos, suero oral. Ayer fuimos a la farmacia y encargamos unas cuantas cajitas. Porque bueno, mucha gente viene con diarreas, deshidratados, y el suero es bueno, un medicamento así básico.
Los casos son casos leves, porque es lo que supone, solo viajan 8 o 10 horas en un bote, pues lo que conlleva marearse, pues estar cansado, agotado. Si ve alguno que esté más malo es porque ya estaba malo de antes, o sea que venía enfermo o algo. Entonces, en general, no son casos.
Lo de las quemaduras. Casos.
Solo que nosotros, nuestro barco va a, generalmente solo a los botes pequeños. En los barcos grandes de madera que viajan centenares de personas, y si la gente que va abajo, por lo de los humos, pues si hay mucha gente que se intoxica con humo. Muchos se mueren. O sea, nosotros hemos ido a pocos barcos de esos, pero a los que hemos ido, pues sí hemos tenido algún intoxicado con humo y cosas de eso. Y luego alguna vez que había gente pues, en el agua ahogándose, y tuvimos gente que tenía pues, piernas cortadas y cosas de esas por las hélices y tal. Pero eso, que lo normal es que cuando llega un bote, pues cuando están embarcando, siempre hay 3 o 4 que se desmayan, pero hay gente que está agotada. Tanto física como mentalmente, y ya está.
Pues. Soy sueca, pero de madre española. Y entonces, en este proyecto, yo hago lo mismo que hace Noelia. Bueno, Noelia es la medical team leader, es nuestra jefa, digamos. Pero también hago todo lo que es de enfermería, pero aparte también con un enfoque especial en las mujeres embarazadas o mujeres en general. Entonces, las embarazadas les hacemos un chequeo, a ver si está el bebé bien, si ha tenido algún problema.
We are about to start an unforgettable adventure with these Spanish people. We have boarded Dignity One, the ship that the humanitarian organization Doctors Without Borders chartered in 2015 to save lives in the Mediterranean Sea between the stretch of Libya and Italy. With the arrival of summer, and especially because of the imposed obstacles to those who are trying to reach Greece from Turkey, the route to Italy is experiencing an increase in the number of refugees whose lives are in danger. Inside the ship, a team of professionals prepare to rescue the precarious boats struggling in the middle of the sea in each way, in which each day hundreds try to reach the shores of Europe, mainly from Africa. Europe has recently developed into a stronghold, moving to avoid, at any price, the transit of victims to its territories. Dignity One's mission is to prevent this transit from having deadly consequences.
Soy Marilén, capitana de Tasmania.
Porfirio de Cantabria, de España. Primer oficial de cubierta y oficial de guardia de puente.
Yo soy John, de Galicia, Galicia. Soy el contramaestre y mi función se basa en organizar el trabajo de cubierta según siguiendo las órdenes del primer oficial.
Yo soy Marta, press officer, en español press officer.
¿Y cuál es tu función?
Press officer.
Yo soy Nacho, soy el cocinero del barco. Mi función es dar de comer a todos.
Yo soy Javier y soy parte del equipo médico.
Soy Gabriel de Cantabria y soy marinero.
Yo soy Arturo, soy de Ferrol, Galicia y soy marino.
David Prados, segundo oficial de marina.
Laura de Italia.
Empezamos con la idea del proyecto a partir del 23 de abril, cuando un naufragio grande que murieron 700, 800 personas en el Mediterráneo. Una idea que ya veníamos teniendo, un problema que se podía prever. Entonces rápidamente activamos una búsqueda de un barco, no fue difícil. Después de un mes y medio de búsqueda, muchos problemas, muchos trámites, pudimos poner la proa al horizonte y salimos el 13 de junio al mar. ...37 rescates hechos desde que empezamos. Alrededor de 4.300 personas subieron a bordo del Dignity, y la gran parte la trajimos a puerto y algunos los transferimos a otros barcos, ellos mismos los trajeron a Italia. Alrededor del 85% de las personas que rescatamos son hombres, 15% mujeres, niños son menores de 5 años, alrededor del 1%. Lo más visible, los males propios de la mar, deshidratación, insolación, enfermedades de la piel, y bueno, lo más grave que estamos viendo es precisamente eso, ¿no? Una violencia estructural, donde prácticamente el 100% de los testimonios que recogemos declaran haber sufrido o haber sido testigos presenciales de violencia física, psicológica, tortura. Gran parte de las mujeres también han sufrido violencia sexual. En África del Oeste, bueno, muchos de los nigerianos que huyen, en sus testimonios mencionan a la persecución, Boko Haram. De otros países también, muchos que escapan a violencia estructural, a la falta de respeto a los derechos humanos, algunos activistas políticos, algunos de ellos menores de edad. Los que vienen de Eritrea, evidentemente, ¿no?, escapan de una dictadura cruel, donde no hay ningún tipo de derecho garantizado. Y escapan una ruta también bastante difícil, de Etiopía, Sudán, incluso en el desierto llegan a Libia. No son problemas en el trayecto. Y bueno, hemos recibido también gente de Siria, de Palestina, incluso gente escapando desde Yemen.
It was time to leave. The European stronghold is moving away. In the distance, there is a cemetery in which more than 3,700 people lost their lives in 2015. So far in 2016, more than 400 migrants have died. Dignity One is directed towards the African coast to tackle this tragedy.
Mira a ver qué distancia.
tomamos las posiciones en ese momento de cambio de guardia y luego durante la hora también seguimos tomando posiciones y diversas anotaciones de viento y la mar, ¿no? En fin, entre otros datos. Bueno, esto es algo natural en todos los barcos porque pues se tiene que relevar el personal para hacer para seguir la navegación durante las 24 horas, claro.
El capitán sigue siendo Madeleine y nosotros somos oficiales, cada uno con su... En realidad cuando estás de guardia eres el responsable de la guardia, de tu guardia. Por supuesto, si hay algún contratiempo o algo, hay que avisar al capitán. Pero bueno, sí que es verdad que en raras ocasiones se avisa al capitán, a no ser que ocurra algo muy grave o algo que se escape de lo normal.
¿Cómo podría ser?
Como podría ser algo excepcional, y más en la zona en la que trabajamos ahora. Pues no sé, cualquier cosa fuera de lo normal que se presente. Lo normal es una navegación normal con... los motores normales sin problema y bueno, pues lo cotidiano. Aquí lo que pasa es que bueno, en la zona donde estamos casi todo es fuera de lo normal. Algún aviso de Roma, alguna patera por la noche, pues bueno.
Sí, también por la noche.
Sí, lo normal es que suelen salir de día. De día tarde y pues a la noche y se les rescate por la mañana. Pero bueno, que ha habido alguna vez, creo que no, Perfidio, ¿sí? Alguna marea que se ha localizado de noche y bueno, son cosas excepcionales.
Sí.
Hay que estar muy pendiente de los aparatos de navegación.
¿Me cuentas un poquillo, contáis los aparatos?
Hay dos radares, este de aquí es el NAPTES, perdón, este de aquí es el Transat, que es una carta electrónica. Uh-huh. El ICE, que controla... todos los barcos que tengan ICE al mismo tiempo están emitiendo una señal y ahí aparecen todos los datos del barco, ¿no? Uh-huh. Tanto qué tipo de barco es, el rumbo que lleva, las personas a bordo, cuál es la ETA, el puerto de destino, etc. Aquí, como verás, hay este es el piloto automático. Este de aquí es el piloto automático. Junto con este, bueno, en realidad el piloto automático es este. Esto sería, digámosle, el timón tipo, sí, joystick.
¿Esta es nuestra posición? ¿Esto de aquí arriba?
¿El puntito de este? Sí. Ahora mismo nosotros estaríamos aquí. Este sería el barco. Este sería nuestro barco.
¿Y dónde vamos ahora? ¿Qué zona vamos?
Vamos. Sería el puerto a donde nos dirigimos. Aquí justamente. ¿Vale? Este de aquí sería casi un poquito al noreste de Libia. Uh-huh. De Trípoli, perdón.
De Trípoli. Uh-huh.
Sí. Y aquí, con el rumbo y la velocidad que llevamos, pues puede haber que vamos a llegar en un día y 6 horas allá.
Today is the first day in the open sea. The Dignity crew on deck takes advantage of the morning to familiarize themselves with rescue tools and to practice rescue operations. Everyone is attentive to the guidance of their trainers. When they see a boat, they must be ready to coordinate in a hurry, because in a rescue, every second that passes is important to the lives of possibly dozens of people in danger.
Madeline Habib from Tasmania, Australia, and I'm the captain of Dignity One. I first worked with MSF 12 years ago as a logistician, and I worked in Ethiopia and Kashmir. It was a little bit of a break away for me from my traditional life at sea. So for many years I've been working at sea, and I worked for Greenpeace. And there's actually quite a lot of crossover between Greenpeace and MSF. So I took a break away from sea and worked as a logistician with MSF. And this year, when I heard about the migrant crisis, and I was also looking for ways to come back into the humanitarian world, I was really drawn to come back to MSF. And so I tried for several months, actually, to come on board the Dignity. It's been a bit of a difficult passage because it's a Spanish ship with Spanish crew, but I've been very determined, and now I'm on board, and yeah, it's a really big honour for me.
Estamos en zona de rescate.
Los ecos
y él viene recogiendo todas las huellas.
Ese es el barco. Por eso sabes que es el atunero, por las huellas estas.
Sí, sí, es para una superficie. Posiblemente atunero o espadero, pero posiblemente atunero, sí.
¿Qué diferencia hay entre atunero y espadero?
El anzuelo es más pequeño, el atunero, y el espadero es más grande, y bueno, el palangre, el hilo es más gordo, más grueso, uh-huh. Nada más que ese.
Sí.
My name is Laura. I am the responsible for humanitarian affairs on board of Dignity One. My work consists in welcoming people together with the rest of the crew and talking to them. And by talking to them, I understand what vulnerabilities they have, what needs they are that we can address. And ultimately, I am able, with the stories and the element that I collect, to advocate on their behalf. Humanitarian medical organization MSF is here to save lives and assist people on board, but also to advocate on people's behalf, to try and change European migration policies in a way that allows these people to access Europe in a safe and legal way. The people that we rescue have gone through a series of indescribable suffering and hardship, and they are risking their lives to finally save their life, which can sound contradictory, but these people are fleeing to live and to live a safe life, and so the European Union needs to give them this chance to access their territory in a safer way. The needs today are here, and this is why MSF is here. As you know, MSF goes wherever there is an uncovered need, and what is different on this mission compared to other missions that I've done is that this time, for the first time, I'm in the heart of Europe. This is very strange for MSF to be able to activate and be operative in the heart of one of the richest continents in the world. This is the sign of a huge problem. These people are coming from a wide range of countries. We receive a lot of Eritreans, a high number of Somalis, a high number of people coming from Western Africa, from Nigeria, and we also have people that come from as far as the Central African Republic or Sudan, even South Sudan. This shows that people are really ready to cross an entire continent to reach a safer place to live. We try to really speak to the higher number of people, the highest number of people, to try and understand what varietals of stories they have behind, because each person has a different story that is unique and complex. And this is why, as MSF, we try and also to show the real human face of the migration phenomenon. People are not categorizable into refugees and asylum seekers on one side and economic migrant. This is what we hear every day in the media. As humanitarian actors, we bear no judgment, regardless of the person's place of origin, story. They need to be able to live a dignified life and to live a safe life and not to die in the sea, especially if these deaths are preventable.
So we can see the Patera now. It's just on the right-hand side of the sun on the water. Can you see it? Just like a little speck on the horizon.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's big.
Well, it has 150 people on it, so it's not very big. It's 4.7 miles away. We'll be there in about half an hour. So everybody's getting ready on deck.
Problem. That's why they give me easy. Even if I collapse, because I'm not feeling well. I take is because of a sacrifice. I said if I die, I know that I die because of my family. That's why I die. But alhamdulillah, 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 right now I'm here. Alhamdulillah.
Nigeria to this journey because of the Boko Haram, the way they treat people bad, bombing people everywhere, bombing houses, bombing churches and mosques. Okay, when I was coming back from work, when I got home, I always saw the flame everywhere burning. Both my parents, I couldn't fight them anymore. My siblings, I couldn't fight them. Because I found out that when I watched Al Jazeera, I saw people traveling. I saw some of them, they died on the road, some of them survived. So I had to run for my life, to save my life. That's why I went on this journey. And when I got to Libya, I was really, really abused. I saw many dead people on the way. The people there are not friendly. They treat people like slaves. They treat us like animals. But I just thank God that I was rescued by I thank God that today I was rescued, and I'm really happy that I'm alive today.
In order to be able to continue the rescue operations, sailors transferred those rescued from Dignity One to another ship called the Argos. Argos will take them to the mainland of Europe.
Fleeing from wars, conflicts, torture, persecution, human rights violation, a wide variety of situations of violence, both in those countries that are at peace and in those countries that are at war. Some of them are just fleeing unbearable poverty, that type of poverty that drives to desperation. And so they come, and what they're extremely eager to talk about always, it's Libya. Libya is the latest and most recent traumatizing experience they have been through. And they tell us how they have been detained, sometimes for months, sometimes for years, very bad conditions in detention centers where they are subjected to daily beatings, to food deprivation, sometimes real torture. In Libya, they also tell us that a lot of them, a lot of women are being raped, sexually abused and exploited. Children, even, they are sometimes arrested with their mothers. These type of stories are just unacceptable. Europe and anyone should not allow these things to happen. And these things happen because people have no other choice that go through Libya nowadays, coming from sub-Saharan countries. And the going through Libya makes them all people in need of protection, regardless of their original reason to move. What is unique for me about this mission also is the extreme and wonderful proximity that we have with the people. It's the first time that I wake up in the morning and 5 minutes after I'm already surrounded by the people that we rescued, and I'm already engaging with them and talking to them. This usually is not the case in other projects, and I appreciate this because the human bond that creates is absolutely unique. The first time that I actually see people that have just literally escaped death. And this is something that impacts you as a human and makes you easily empathetic with them. When I see women coming with their eyes full of fears, they are looking nowhere, they're just trying to stay stable. Sometimes the boat is really moving from the waves, so the risk of falling down, they just want to sit down and close their eyes for a moment. And this is extremely powerful. We are seeing extreme vulnerabilities and the feeling of being there, the feeling of knowing that you can do something right there and then for them, it's wonderful.
English. Who speak other language? French?
English.
Only English?
Yes.
Everybody? Okay. Okay, my friend. Okay. You don't... Okay. Guys, first of all, I want to tell you that this is no good. To throw things in the sea. Nobody like this. This is very bad. So, as from now, you stop, you don't throw anything in the sea, okay?
Yes.
Okay, this is something. Thank you. Okay, we are Doctors Without Borders. We are going to save you, to take you on our ship, okay?
Yes.
I will explain you how we are going to make the operation very smoothly and in a very safety way, okay?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to tell me now how many you are on board this boat. If anybody knows. Do you know how many? Okay, you tell me, my friend.
We are 160.
160?
Yes.
116. Ah, okay. Okay, 116. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any women, children?
Yeah.
Okay, children, how many?
Children.
Three children.
Three children.
Okay, woman?
21.
Okay. I will give you now life jacket. Shall everybody wear one life jacket?
Yeah.
Of course, now with this trip. We don't have for everybody, but I will go back to bring more, okay? So, we start, you will give and you will help the woman wear life jackets and the children, okay? And then everybody, and in a matter of half an hour, everybody will be on board, okay? Okay, good.
Cubierta Dignity, Cubierta Dignity, ¿me recibes, cambio?
Sí, adelante.
Bien, tenemos 116 personas a bordo, de los cuales 21 son mujeres y 3 niños. 3 niños.
Ok, John, we give them this.
Bien.
Again, there are the same looks of exhaustion. The eyes of newly rescued people are full of confusion, disbelief, and a fear of the future. Bonds of trust start to form between the Dignity crew and new passengers, particularly the little ones. Many of these people are running away from the armed conflicts in which their families are in danger. Others are afraid that European authorities will deport them back to their own countries. So some of them asked us not to reveal their names.
Using people's life like animals in Libya.
Yeah.
Like if we are not women beings, like if it's not somebody that gives birth to us, there's no food to eat, they'll be trying to have sex with you, we young girls. Is that supposed to be good? If we are the good president, is that what's supposed to be? And we young girls supposed to face? Why are they taking care of only their own family? There's no good education. It's only for our children. That was supposed to done me. Okay, like now, you said that Germany is good, Italy, Europe is good. Why our own country too, they cannot do that? We are asking a question.
that you can see Sicilia. What do you feel?
I feel so happy.
Yeah?
I feel so happy and okay. By tomorrow, I'll be in Italy, you know. That's it.
Rescued by the rescue ship based on the international sea. I came from a long way from my country, the Gambia. Due to some political problems and due to our head of state, who is just a massive dictator, who is seizing our liberty, nobody talks. I was supposed to be in jail and I ran away. I came all along from Gambia to Senegal. And when I passed Senegal, I started to Mali. From Mali, I pay every checkpoint almost €5 to €10. And I pass almost 30 checkpoints. From Mali, I go to Burkina Faso. The same thing applies, over 20 checkpoints, €5 each. And the last checkpoint, I pay €20. And from Burkina Faso, I started Niger. From Niger, I end up at Agadez. And from Agadez, I have to cross the desert. The desert took me 4 days to cross the desert. And whilst I was crossing the desert, there were so many deaths. And I was thinking that when I reach Libya, things will get better. And I reached Libya, it was worse. They don't respect human being. They don't respect black man as a person. They catch us like dogs. I was in prison, and they sold me, you know, and the police told me to call my family to send money, and they sent $1,000, which is almost equivalent to $1,000. They sent it, and they released me. And my fellow Gambians are in prison. Almost in every prison you find 2,000 Gambians. So I'm begging the UN if they can do an effort for this, because every day a prisoner dies. You can count over 5,000 Gambians in prison, over far more than that, over 5,000 Nigerians, over 10,000 Nigerians, over 5,000 Ethiopians, Somali, you name it, all African countries who want to go to come to the pathway.
Jesus, with Jesus, with Jesus.
Happy faces turn into uncertain-looking ones as they arrive in Europe. Police and government officials check in the newcomers coldly, and they hardly give the newcomers any explanations. In order to escape from death, torture, and suffering in their homeland, they have opted to pursue their right to asylum and to be relocated into a European country. But the chances of being looked after are slim. Out of the 6,000 people that the EU states pledged in the past to relocate each month from Italy last year, only 700 have been officially relocated. It is feared that the majority that have landed here after successfully escaping from the terror unleashed on their homeland and surviving the crossing of the Mediterranean against all odds in a flimsy, overcrowded boat will be forced to face life in their dream Europe without access to health, education, or housing, or livable wages.